Welcome Policy Fellow at the South African Institute of Race Relations, Sarah Gon.
Good afternoon, Sarah.
Hi, Paul. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
No, good, thank you.
So I don't want to get this wrong, Sarah. I'm assuming that we are talking about this news headline we've seen today. It's the latest round of President Ramaphosa's South African Investment Conference. We've heard figures thrown around of money that's being invested. But today we're going to talk about why the European Union doesn't want to invest.
Yeah. I thought this would be interesting because it's not coming from sort of the local organizations like ourselves, economists who object to a variety of programs by the government, which are an anathema to investment. And I'd just like to go through a few of the issues that the EU raises, and then I'll sort of put it in some perspective. The first impediment, as far as the EU is concerned, is BEE. It's particularly problematic because a lot of European enterprises are family-owned, and therefore they'd be unable or unwilling to transfer shares to external parties. The EU would rather the government reward skills development and reduce the emphasis on ownership. Then the other problem is public procurement, which in the opinion of the EU has made local production internationally uncompetitive. Meeting localization requirements, particularly in the renewable energy sector, is particularly difficult. It's the significant cost of establishing production facilities, additional skills development requirements, and the unavailability of certain inputs for power producers. The third thing is that the Employment Equity allows the Labour Minister to set and regulate sector-specific targets for companies with more than 50 employees, and he has a very high level of discretion as to what is an economic sector and to actually set the targets. This is particularly at a risk for infrastructure projects, and that is supposed to be the linchpin of Ramaphosa's recovery plan. The other issue is a lack of necessary skills and the difficulties in obtaining visas and work permits. And the EU is basically saying that the government must tackle these key obstacles to investment. Some of the requirements are complex and in some cases just prohibitive. Now, what's particularly interesting about this is this criticism, which could have come from us or a whole range of other parties, is coming from the European Union. It was based on an article written for Business Live by someone representing European Union. And the writer, Raoul de Lutzenberger, reminds us, and I think we need reminding, that the EU is South Africa's largest investor, 40% of local investment stock. And it's also our main trading partner, and that's 25% of South Africa's overall trade flows. Now, it's quite a robust statement given the fact that the EU sort of has a kind of soft spot for South Africa and is prepared to accommodate a lot. And what I would say to government on this is if you won't listen to your local detractors, please listen to one of your best friends. So we're not just sucking it out of our thumbs. It's the failure to structurally change the economy is a huge, huge problem.
It's very scary news, Sarah, because I'm looking at the numbers of the additional investment, the cumulative amount that Ramaphosa says has been secured through these investment conferences. But the fine print is saying that of this about 110 billion in investment pledges, a small amount, maybe a very small percentage of that money is new money. It's extensions of existing contracts. Mm. It's not, let's say, greenfields investments or new companies or new investors saying, yes, we are going to set up something substantial. And as you say, with the BEE requirements having moved, you're saying that a move away from an emphasis on ownership and a move towards other categories. That would be a complete 180. If anything, the act has gone more in the direction of ownership and prioritizing ownership over other categories. So it remains to be seen, doesn't it? I wish we could say something more positive about this. There's also been criticism this week that the recovery plan is nothing new. The plan itself that has been announced is more tinkering around the edges.
No, that's certainly our view on it. And the problem is that one of my criticisms with the president's presentation of it is it's almost in cliched sort of soft, warm tones. You know, we've got this much pledged and we want to appear, grow like a protea out of the ashes of a fire. And you think, oh no, this is not the way to deal with the wasteland that is our economy.
Yeah, we keep saying now, because things are getting so bad under a year of COVID and lockdown, this is the point when our politicians will gain a sense of perspective, a sense of priority, a sense of urgency, and we'll see real changes. But I think we're still holding our breath. That's the worrying thing.
Well, I think my last remark is perhaps this is again, we keep, you know, hoping that another terrible thing will put the energy into changing course. And that's the fact that I think this morning's papers that, the CCMA, the SABC, all in trouble because their budgets are being cut. And I think the road accident fund, somebody said, should be wound up. You know, it's almost like a perfect storm.
It is. And I don't know what we can conclude with, Sarah, except to say I really hope we've provided enough life jackets and there are some safe ports for us. I guess, we can just laugh ruefully. Thank you so much for joining us again this week. It's probably going to be Simon talking more hard-hitting socioeconomic things with you next week. But thanks again for joining us.